The gospel appointed for this beautiful feast of the Epiphany ends with this information that the Magi from the East, after having found Christ in Bethlehem, return back home, return back east by another way. They return home differently. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said of this reality that this makes sense because no one comes to Christ and goes back the same way. And the whole idea is once we've met Jesus, once we have encountered him, once we've seen him and worshiped him and adored him like the Magi, it changes us. It changes the way we live. It changes even the way the Magi return home. My first number of years as a priest, I would make this point. I had one Epiphany homily year after year after year at one parish, came here, give the same Epiphany homily year after year after year. And a couple of years ago, one of the high school students I had said, "Father, we get it, right? The Magi return home differently, right? They return home by a different way. We got it. We understand." And he said, "My dad, Father, when we're driving home after church last Sunday, we usually go a certain route home. He decided to go a different route. He took a right instead of a left." And we said, "Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "Father really wants us to return home differently." And so aren't dads great, huh? Nice dad joke for all of us dads. So have fun driving home here tonight. But I think, of course, everyone, there's so much more for this Feast of the Epiphany than just returning home differently, although that's a beautiful reflection to maybe pray with. But what I want to point out is that we're in the final hours, really, of the Christmas season. This year, with Christmas falling on a Monday, everything is really kind of wonky. Advent was short. It's a shorter Christmas season than usual. And so this is it. So get a good look at the church. You'll see it again next year in terms of the beautiful poinsettias and things like that. And so this is pretty much the end of our Christmas season with the Epiphany here this evening. That being said, I want us to go back for a moment to Christmas Eve just a few weeks ago. I don't even know how many days ago it was now. And just to remember our reflection, wherever you were for Mass, that we're focusing, of course, on Jesus, on the infant child. We're focusing on Bethlehem and the manger. And we could ask the question, for whom did Jesus come? For whom was he born? And we could say, well, he was born for his mother, or his father, St. Joseph. Or he was born for those who saw him and came, like the shepherds and the angels that were present. Or we could even take it a step further and say that he was born for the Jewish people, that he is the king of Israel, and so that's who he is king of. And I'm not Israeli, I'm not a Jew, so what does this have to do with me? If we then take Christmas without Epiphany, it's simply for another people, another nation, another tribe, another tongue, another people. But now, with Epiphany, with these Magi from the East coming from a non-Jewish nation, coming from the Gentiles, coming from so many places where you and I and our ancestors probably come from, non-Jewish nations, we now say that Christ was born for me, that he came for me and my family and my tribe and my nation and my language, that Jesus is king for me. And that's what Epiphany does. It moves it just from one nation to all nations. That's why this is such an essential feast day. In many parts of the world, open gifts, not on Christmas, but on Epiphany. Kids, I said that. I hope you heard it. They open gifts on Epiphany. Just kidding. Now, Jesus, everyone, right? Not just a light to the nations, but he is the light to the nations. And if we try to imagine for a moment the scene described to us in Matthew chapter 2 that we have through the gospel this evening, the star guiding the Magi to Bethlehem, landing on a home. If we try to imagine for a moment the Magi entering this home, and we're told that upon seeing the mother with her child, they do something rather unique. We're told that they lay themselves down and do him homage. Now, I'm willing to guess last time you went over to Sanford or CHI to the nursery to see a newborn child born to a relative, maybe your own child, I'm willing to guess that upon entering the room and seeing the mother with her child, you didn't lay down on the ground. I'm willing to guess you didn't do that. If you did, you probably got escorted out, right? Security, please, we have someone here, he needs to go. Of course you didn't do that. But this child is different. And we get rather used to the fact that these Magi laid themselves down and did him homage. This is an extraordinary act of faith. This says so much about what they knew this child to be. Now, what they were doing, everyone, there's a lot of ways of describing it, but the word that could be used for this act of laying themselves down and doing him homage is the word we would use of worship. What they're doing is worshiping Jesus. They're worshiping him. And I just want to pause for a moment and remind us that every time we come into a church, every time we come to Mass, this is what we're doing. We might not lay down on the ground, but we are offering him worship. Now, not to make anyone feel bad or anything like that, but just to kind of check in for one moment here this evening and to say, okay, we're about halfway through Mass, depending on how long this thing goes, about halfway done. Have I yet offered to God an act of worship? Have I yet, this evening, at this Mass, on the level of the heart, offered to God any kind of worship? I know the Vikings are out, okay? I know the Packers are in. I know tomorrow's Monday, and we have work, and we have school, and we have things, and we're busy, and we have life. But honestly, have I yet offered to God this act of worship? Because that's what we're here to do, to worship God. Now, why is that so important? I think it can kind of be drawn out from what we're going to do here in a few moments, right before Christ becomes present in the Eucharist. At the beginning of the liturgy of the Eucharist, there's what's called a dialogue between the priests and the people, between me and you. And I'll say to you, the Lord be with you, you'll say, and with your spirit. I'll say, lift up your hearts. You'll say, we lift them up to the Lord. Then I'll say, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And you'll say, it is right and just. Everyone, offering worship to God is right, yes. It is just, yes. But then the priest continues and says, it is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. It is our salvation to give God thanks. Just to pause for a moment and to say, how is that the case? Why is it that salvation happens through an act of worship? Because that's what we're made to do. You and I were made for a lot of different things and a lot of different reasons, given a lot of different responsibility and tasks. But at the level of every single human heart, the human heart is made to offer God worship. I oftentimes think that so many of us, and we all struggle, right? We all struggle with sin in different ways, addiction in different ways. If we could just get the heart to offer worship to God, he begins to heal. He begins to save. That's where salvation happens. That's why it is our duty and our salvation always and everywhere to give him thanks, because we're made to do it. Where does God save you and me? In the place where we can offer him worship. Now, last thing on this. I know the last number of weeks, right, from Thanksgiving until now have been jam-packed. I know we've all been drinking water and drinking bread for the last 5 weeks, right? That's all we've been eating and drinking. And I know there's been a lot of family time, wonderful opportunities to celebrate so many different gifts we have, a lot of holiday cheer. All those things are really good things. But I wonder, and I'm sure in your own homes, how many of us have been saying in these last days how good it is to get back to a routine, how good it is to get back to the grind a little bit, that we like the grind, we like the routine, we like even ordinary time that's going to begin here this week. Now, I also think that when we transition from a high level of, you could say, celebration to more ordinary time, we can sometimes say, but what's next, right? What's the next party? What's the next festivity? What's the next family gathering? Because that's what we've had for 5 weeks, all good things. What's next? What's more? This is a chance to step back and to be able to say, I know what's more. Jesus. That Epiphany is in some ways just the beginning of the Christmas season. That Christmas doesn't end today or tomorrow. that Christ is born anew for all ages, that he has come for us, and our hearts were made to worship him. Let's make sure at the beginning of 2024, every time we come to Mass, we come to offer God what is right and just, what is our salvation, namely the worship of Jesus Christ.